a stranger in the black sedan. I want you hop inside my car. I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man.
I have a few specific predictions about the Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl. Don't
already in progress.
Already in progress, but don't quote me. It's not already in progress. We're recording this at 11 before the game ever happens. I'm just feeling that it's going to be like a
4.5 minutes left in the Bell Armed Forces Bowl.
You know, no. This is it. Like this is before the game. So if it just happens to be like a 21-17 Tulsa lead with 5:45 left in the fourth quarter, don't quote me on that. But I'm just feeling that's kind of how this game's going to go.
You were very sage.
I know. It's insane, really. You know, like BYU will have around 300 yards of offense. And they'll have sort of had the lead, and then Tulsa will come storming back as G.J. Kinney scores, throwing to Brian Burnham for a 30-yard game.
Tulsa will be curiously pinned in their own end zone with 4:20 left to go, down four.
Yeah. It'll be amazing. But, you know,
like Tulsa's uniforms.
I love Tulsa's uniforms. I actually like their stadium because it's got like this kind of riprap sheetrock.
They look like Powdered Toast Man.
They do. Although, really...
But their mascot really looks like Powdered Toast Man.
I want somebody to just have Mr. Horse as their mascot. That's it.
I feel like that's Tennessee's natural mascot. Mr. Like, no sir, I don't like it. It should be on our crest.
Speaking of, congratulations for losing your legendarily curmudgeonly...
Son.
SID.
Losing Bud Ford. Is not the word. Losing is not the word for Bud Ford's retirement. This is VK Day.
VK Day. Victory over Knoxville.
Victory in Knoxville Day.
Victory in
I
Knoxville
guess.
Day. Okay.
Yeah.
I will say this. The one really close experience I had with Bud Ford, besides being turned down on three different occasions for credentials, was him calling me and spending 15 minutes telling me the difference between print and online media.
Would you care to elucidate some of those differences?
Print media prints things, and online media is not print media.
Beat reporters do things like this. Boop, 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 boop. Bloggers do things like this. Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, I understand he's not an evil man, but
he's
pretty much the tiny little tyrant that you see in every Tennessee public school and or church. That's it. Just tiny little tyrants. Yes, exactly. Just mean old biddies who sometimes flash a lighter side of their character by doing something somewhat nice. They did always have ice cream in the press box the one time I managed to get in there under the Sporting News' banner. So kudos to you, Bud Ford. You always had ice cream.
I'm 1,000,000% certain that I would not have been credentialed this year if they'd remembered that I used to work for EDSBS. But the fact that he didn't meant that it was time for Bud Ford to go.
Bud Ford doesn't know what the internet is, so it wouldn't matter.
No. But he sure knows how to treat a lady.
Yeah, we'll discuss that. We'll tease that.
We'll tease that.
You felt the subtle but firm masculine hand of Bud Ford once in a very...
Twice in a very personal way.
So
yeah, we'll talk about one of these stories.
Yes, we'll just tease one of those later. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on to actual football news, which this isn't actual. Remember, these are just all exhibitions. We have to mention them all, which is why this is one omnibus podcast, because I forgot that daycare was closed today, and so did my wife. So I pulled up to daycare this morning, and the daycare was empty. And then I realized... we're going to have to recalibrate. So I spent a good part of the morning chasing young Magnus around and watching Cars 2. Mm-hmm. Michael Caine, I will say, he didn't phone in that voiceover performance. Nope. Eddie Izzard, however, totally did.
I lost you for a second, sorry.
All right, where did you lose me?
Eddie Izzard something?
Michael Caine did not phone his performance in, put real heart and vigor into the role of voicing the car, McMissile. Mm-hmm. But Eddie Izzard, as Axelrod, totally phoned it in.
I just find it hard to get into any performance that wants to upstage the fragile pathos of Larry the Cable Guy.
He's really the core of the story, and that's why it's not very good.
Yeah.
The heart...
He's in the off-season.
But moving on, let's get her done. Oh, my segues have been so on point.
Oh, I'm hanging up.
They've been so good.
I'm hanging up.
The Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl, we were supposed to do a podcast, and then we didn't have time to do that. So now we're going to tackle all four of these bowls, which I have to say, if there's one day of bowl games that you can be pretty negligent about.
Today's it.
Today's it.
We're just being demonstrative. We're you should follow our lead.
Yeah. I wouldn't care much about any of these. This is by the way, a worse day than any of the previous ones that we've had thus far in terms of bowl games where teams really don't have much incentive to care. And if you've seen what happens, i.e. North Carolina and the Independence Bowl, when teams don't care, magic is not the word.
No, indeed.
So,
unless you mean magic in the sense of sad road warriors loading up laundry baskets full of rubber chickens.
Which, I do mean that. So maybe we should be.
Maybe there is magic.
Maybe there is magic in this. Let's move to the Armed Forces Bowl. That's already really happened. I know you thought for a second we were recording this earlier and I was just astonishingly prescient. No. This is us recording as it's going on. But kicking off in just a few minutes and probably underway by the time we get this up, the New Era Pinstripe Bowl. Is there anything to say about Iowa State, the most important team in college football, versus Rutgers?
Yes.
That's it. The whole thing. Yes. Not a...
I've put a lot of thought into this.
You did. Well, remember, you really should have something to say about this game because Rutgers is the most important team in the Northeast. And is college football's New York City banner holder, right? They're the standard bearer for the entire city of New York City, right?
Has New York not been through enough?
Yeah, that's my favorite argument. Yeah, Rutgers, that's like the key to the New York market. With all of those as...
Stop being mean to New York.
they've had a rough decade.
God, first the Dutch. Oh, no, I'm not talking about 9/11. I'm talking about the Dutch.
Why aren't you talking about 9/11? Never forget.
All right.
And the Dutch. Don't forget the Dutch. Connecticut. Yeah. And then don't forget, don't forget living that close to Connecticut. It has a soporific effect. I'm amazed.
It leeches over.
I'm amazed New York can wake up in the morning. The Rutgers, by the way, not a team that you'll enjoy watching. Ever. They're not a very good team. They haven't played very well. Their wins this year, a couple of, I think, quality wins. Really. Like, they're not fun to watch, but I will say this. Defensively, as always, Greg Schiano puts up forth a pretty good defense. They managed to do exactly what you need to do to win in the Big East, which is play defense and let the other person screw up, since that's what most of the teams in the Big East do, since it's just like a series of NFL retread feeling or college retread guys like Paul Pasqualoni, who's still coach. He's the coach at Connecticut right now, everybody.
Is he? In college?
Yes, and guess what? Rutgers lost to Connecticut.
What the heck did you say?
40-22, because it's the Big East, and that's what happens. Against the conference's better teams, Rutgers came up more than short. They lost to West Virginia. They lost to Louisville. They lost to North Carolina in an out-of-conference game, but not by much. That was a 24-22 game, and in case UNC's year wasn't bad enough, almost losing to Rutgers is basically a loss anyway. I'm really talking badly about them. They're not a terrible team. They're not. Offensively, they're putrid, but that's not what they try to do anyway. Iowa State, on the other hand, pure entertainment.
This is like a ham game without Joe Tessitore, without even the addition or the need for Tessitore. I mean, we've already seen what happens when we combine their forces, but they're a chaos engine all their own.
They really are. But if you are wondering about a possible weakness in this game, something that might concern an Iowa State fan going into this, it's that their rushing defense can't stop an arthritic fullback. Not that they played an actual arthritic fullback, but they came really close to giving up. They gave up 134 yards to Henry Josie in the game against Missouri, as well as 80 to Kendall Lawrence and James Franklin. I know that they're a good rushing offense, but this is a very bad rushing defense. They give up almost 200 on a game on the ground, and Rutgers is just gonna hop all over that. happen.
I really, really like their baby quarterback, though.
Oh, my. Hey, listen, their offense, their offensive coordinator was hired away by Urban Meyer to go to Ohio State, Tom Herman, who they always say he's a member of Mensa, which, I mean, we got to be kind of a douchebag if you just come right out and say, yeah, yeah, by the way, I'm a member of Mensa.
Dude, we should join Mensa. That can be one of our off-season Fridays.
Look at us.
We're already planning ahead. Such is our respect for the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah, this would be, by the way, the quarterback in question that we are discussing. That would be Jared Barnett, the redshirt freshman. Described, by the way, humorously by Bill Connolly, our own college football writer, as a redshirt freshman who is both limited and intriguing.
He's got to be intriguing to hang on to the starting job over a player with intangibles like being born with the name Steel Jantz.
Yeah, yeah. They really, Iowa State, this is a very familiar pattern for them. A lot of very exciting games, a lot of tight games, and a lot of games that they were blown out in. They've got the full trifecta of ways to steal games and then lose them badly, including probably the nadir of the season for them, the 52-17 loss at Missouri, which then of course they bounce back and they win three in a row, capping with the 37-31 Oklahoma State victory on a Friday night at threat level Tessitore, probably the most important game in terms of the BCS end game because that's how we get the rematch.
Now, they didn't bounce back right away. First, they got pantsed by A&M.
Yes, they did. They got
SEC.
Pantsed.
They got can we start that?
We can. Oh, yeah, you take it. Okay. You lost to both Mizzou and Texas A&M. That's two SEC losses right
like
there.
Like a transitive win over Auburn. Oh.
Feel the lightning, Iowa State. So, yeah, they're the more interesting team. I don't think they're the ones who are going to win this game. That's just my guess. I think Rutgers is probably just going to... They're going to play grind ball and win this thing in a pretty boring contest that you won't want to watch. Next bowl!
Music City.
Oh, God. We told you this was a bad day of games, right? We told you this was really, really bad football.
Not only is it a Music City Bowl, it's a Music City Bowl with a 6-6 Wake Forest team in it.
And Mississippi State. That's
all right.
Well, I mean, Mississippi State, a real mess of a year, right? Because please go back and take us back to preseason when we were looking for possible dark horses, right, for the SEC West title.
I will say that my dark horse this year, after bouncing back from last year's Washington prediction, was Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
yours was Dan Mullen.
Mine was Dan Mullen. I rode this hard, and it rode.
Get away wet.
Yeah, guess who ended up getting rode? Me, because Mississippi State stumbled out of the gate. If you'll remember, they lose a heartbreaker to Auburn in the second game. They then are paved by LSU in a game I was at and would describe as one of the most brutal football games I have ever seen, because it's not even like LSU tried to do anything but hurt Mississippi State. It was the first game plan I've ever seen.
19 points is an ouchy score.
It's just based on pain. That was their game plan. They just wanted to go out there and hurt someone. And that's exactly what happened. Then it's just win-loss. They just never able to really string a whole lot of quality wins together. Had serious problems at quarterback. Replacing.
Had to play in the SEC West this year.
Right.
They were supposed to be one of the reasons it was hard to play in the SEC West this year.
Yeah, they replace Ralph with Ballard. Russell. Sorry, I really need some coffee.
Dispensing with the most poetic phrase in college football: pass complete, Ralph to Bumpus.
Ralph to Bumpus. Yeah, they bounced a couple of times. They tried a couple of different things, and none of them really worked consistently. So a real sort of disappointing season for a team that was expected to do a bit better than they did. Wake Forest, on the other hand, it's always a surprise when Wake Forest does well. There's no good way to say that, by the way.
No. But every once in a while, Jim Grobe will just reel off a couple of stunners. And it usually serves only to remind us that we can't pick Jim Grobe out of a lineup before he and his team kind of retreat back into the mire.
Right. And if you will remember, by the way, this is the team that really sort of helped start Florida State's slide.
Yep.
Because remember, Florida State loses to Oklahoma, and you're like, ah, I don't know, that was a close game.
Florida State loses to Wake, and structural integrity sirens sound.
Yes. And then Wake Forest, in true fashion, decides to celebrate this by losing four of their next five games. That's how they celebrated a win over Florida State. Like, we've used all of our potential points. We're just going to let it slide for a while, bros. And then they get to bowl eligibility with a win over Maryland. Again, one team a year should not count as a BCS win, even though they're in a BCS conference.
It's Maryland.
This year it might be Maryland.
Might be Maryland.
New Mexico isn't in a BCS conference.
No.
Neither is Memphis.
Remind me, we're skipping over my favorite Wake Forest game, which is their defeat of Gardner Webb, of FCS powerhouse Gardner Webb, on September 17th in week 3 by a score of 48-5.
48-5!
They had a safety hung on them.
Yes.
By an FCS team.
But remember, they do have the quarterback who is, along with Bryn Renner, he's in a tie for most ACC name ever, Tanner Price.
If you had mixed, you know, we should play a game in the offseason of just drawing bits of ACC names out of a hat and then trying to construct a coherent quarterback. We could put together a pretty good name engine with the Bryns and the Renners and the Tanners and the...
We could, like, ACC quarterback or Abercrombie and Fitch model. That's really...
ACC quarterback. No, quarterback or lacrosse player would be too hard.
Yeah, then no, there's no way to distinguish the two because they do overlap pretty frequently.
Did I tell you there was a guest at my brother's wedding with the actual first name of Breckenridge?
No.
Like, this is how he's being introduced to people.
That was how he... Oh, God. How on earth do you call somebody... I can't call you Breck for short. That's a shampoo.
Yeah, I didn't ask if he was conceived there or...
Yeah, I don't know. Are you just naming things after expensive real estate now?
And his parents were there too, and I should have just cornered him and been like, listen, what?
Yeah, come on. I mean, really? That's... You might as well just name a child. At this point, we're just doing brand names, right?
Yeah.
That's really... So you might as well just cut to the chase and name him like Range Rover. That would be fine. Then, so I think we can just go ahead and skip the rest of this game because...
Please, can we?
It's going to be ugly.
No, wait. This is the first bowl press release I've ever seen that suggests a dress code for a bowl week event, and I just wanted to address that.
What?
There's a bowl press release. Oh, my God.
That's so...
Cut out my sneeze.
It would be Nashville that
It
does
would
that,
be
right?
Nashville, but for one of the game day... it's not even a soiree. It's in the daytime during bowl week. They're suggesting spirited game day attire.
Spirited game day attire.
Starkville's like, not a problem.
I'm on it. Wake Forest says, what?
You, Dan Mullen's going to show up with a bandolier just full of airport bottles.
Airport bottles? I wasn't thinking airport bottles. I was thinking tiny cowbells. And inside each one, another tiny cowbell.
Just cowbells all the way down.
Well, this is being called, by the way, by the crew who called the military bowl in D.C., which is maybe they're the hot crew, but since that was a very exciting bowl game, that would be Mark Jones, Ed Cunningham, and Janine Edwards. Janine Edwards.
I like Janine Edwards.
I do. She does a very good job, and I do appreciate the fact that she suffers from general chapness. If you look at her, she's very chapped looking. I fear for her skin sometimes. Because, you know, I too suffer from this. We'll form a support group. It'll be beautiful. Moving on, I think we have the game in this phoned-in, this day full of phoned-in bowl games. We have, I think, the most phoned-in, which is the Iowa versus Oklahoma Insight Bowl. Let me say a few things first. If you're going to phone in a bowl game, get Matt Millen on color.
I was going to say, to be fair, they have checked off all the check boxes that one would need to... exert a minimum amount of effort to put on a profitable bowl game, from the trophy to the location, to even the website, where if you click on the merchandise to purchase maybe some Iowa or Oklahoma commemorative Insight Bowl merchandise, it takes you to the Fiesta Bowl store instead and presents you with Stanford shirts. It's the saddest thing. It's the sad. I think last year on SBN I said this was the sad little takeout window of the Fiesta Bowl.
It is, and this is the Chili's to go, right, of the Fiesta Bowl restaurant chain. That's what this is,
with all the quality that implies.
Right, and I assume they don't even care enough to be really like fraudulent and full of graft, like the Fiesta Bowl. They probably, or if they do, they do it badly. They're like, hey, we'll give you some, I don't know, like, you know, free rounds of golf.
I feel like they probably did attempt to, what's the verb form of graft? I feel like they did attempt to graft, probably did some local officials, and they were like, we don't want Insight Bowl tickets.
Graftulate?
Can we have gift cards?
Yeah.
You have gift cards?
I will say this, Oklahoma, they sound ready for this bowl game. They sound prepared. From sophomore offensive lineman Gabe Eichard. Ready?
Ready.
You're lying if you say it wasn't disappointing. To go from thinking about being undefeated or a one-loss team playing for a national championship and then turning out 9-3 and not at the Fiesta Bowl even.
It's too bad that he's going to be reprimanded for that, because you don't get that kind of real talk from players nowadays.
That's even, frankly,
it's really too bad he's going to be in trouble for that.
This build up to the Insight Bowl was also marked by Kirk Ferentz suggesting that reporters also knew, in addition to a player leaving, that they knew about the gas he had passed on the practice field.
Wait, I missed this.
Yeah, you did? Okay, Kirk Ferentz in a press conference said, when they asked him about a player leaving the team or being dismissed, said, wow, you guys got great sources. Hey, I passed gas out there about 15 minutes ago. Did you get that?
Kirk Ferentz still makes $4 million a year, right?
Kirk Ferentz is a shameless thief.
Just check him.
Yeah. Kirk Ferentz doesn't quite mean, I think it's like a little under 4, but it's way too much. It's like 3.2, I think.
And he's covert about it. You never hear people talking about that.
Covert, just cash and checks. What does Kirk Ferentz do? Cash checks.
That's follow your list.
That's
you got to find what you're good at, and that's what he's good at.
Well, if you give Kirk Ferentz a live check written for American currency, and you have ID,
he will cash the hell out of it.
Yeah, he'll cash that check. Maybe that's his business plan post retirement. Kirk Ferentz, check casher. What do? I cash checks. Where does the money go? No one knows. But that's what I'll do. Come down to Kirk Ferentz's cash check cashing. That's what I'll do.
Kirk Ferentz would be the guy in an alternate universe who invented Coinstar.
Yeah.
with the business model, I take your money.
Yeah, that would be it. It would be like, listen, if you put 99 cents in this machine, I'll take like 42 of it. And then I'll give the rest back to you in a neatly packaged plastic wrap. One out of every 3 times. Because that's really like 1 out of every 3 Kirk Ferentz teams. You're like, oh man, that's a formidable team. Maybe 1 out of every 4. Wow. And they've really got something going. That's not the case at this year's Iowa team.
I'm not adding anything into this rant because I'm too busy photoshopping Kirk Ferentz's face onto a Coinstar machine and replacing the word coin with Kirk.
Kirk Star? Yeah, I like it.
Kirk Bucks.
Yeah. This is a pretty mediocre Iowa team overall. They're 7-5. They had some bad losses, right? They lost 27 to Nebraska. They lost the worst loss of all, and I'm going to highlight the stats from this one for you. 22-21, they lost to Minnesota.
The Minnesota Gophers?
Yes, of Division I football.
Okay.
They're there.
Technically, Division I football.
Technically of Division I football. And yes, they lost to Minnesota. I don't even really know how this happened, but they did. So another 7-5 team, another check cash to Kirk Ferentz, passing gas and asking that you report about it. That's Iowa in a nutshell right here.
Over to Oklahoma?
Yes.
Hang on. Do I need to go somewhere?
Actually, you know what? I think we can just stop there.
Okay.
Cash and checks. That'll do.
Okay, cool.
Bye.
Bye.